Hello, everybody, and welcome to Miami Town Ghost Talk. It took me a while to take off mute there. But, yeah, I am one of the hosts tonight, and my name is Mike.
And I am the other host, and my name is Jeff. Are we all about the awkward openings today? Was awkward openings your plan for the day?
No, it wasn't, but when I couldn't unmute quick enough, I panicked, and then everything went awkward in my little head.
I see.
So that's why.
Should we start over?
Nah, we can just continue where we left off. And that would be right here. So, coming up, we have...
Well, we didn't introduce the show or anything. You said... This is one of your hosts, Mike, and then I introduced myself, but we didn't say what show we were listening to or what to expect today or anything like that.
I said, welcome to Miami Town Ghost Talk, didn't I?
I don't think you did.
Well, I said it in my house. I don't know if it came through the microphone. Maybe my microphone wasn't completely unmuted. Well, welcome to Miami Town Ghost Talk.
Now on Tuesday nights.
At 10 o'clock.
At 10 o'clock.
In the one and only studio.
So this is the third move that the show has made.
Hopefully the last, for a while at least.
And for those of you who haven't seen the new website, there's a new website, kind of.
It is a new website.
We're just doing terribly this morning, aren't we? Or this evening, aren't we?
We are not on top of our game.
So who do we have here? Who do we have on our show tonight?
Tonight we're going to be talking to Mike Hahn, and he is the founder of a new group called PRONK, which stands for...
Let me guess. Paranormal Researchers of Northern Kentucky?
I think so, yes. That sounds right. I wasn't prepared. I apologize.
That's okay.
Yes, you are correct. Servicing the tri-state area.
So is this a new group? Tell us what you know about this group.
It was founded by Mike Hahn, and they are based out of Northern Kentucky, and they are looking to help people with their paranormal issues, and they are also affiliated with the Organization for Paraforensic Research at NKU, Northern Kentucky University.
Really? They have an institution for paranormal research at NKU, Northern Kentucky University?
Apparently. I don't know much about it. We'll have to ask him, but...
don't you think we would have heard of this?
I've heard of it from him.
I haven't heard of this at all. I've never heard of any legitimate college having any kind of paranormal research department.
I don't know if he just started it or if he has just joined it. I'm not sure which one it is. He might have just started the little department of paraforensics. I'm not sure how it all started. And yeah, I've never heard of it either. I thought all para anything was taken out of colleges. Even para psychology has been removed, I think.
I would have thought that was the case too. So maybe this is a step in the right direction where we can actually get some university funding to start studying this stuff. And maybe all those things that I've been talking about with all this legitimate research, how I keep saying that they should actually give us grants, have us go out there and do legitimate research, not like 3 or 4 hours on a weekend night or something like that. This is like spend a month in this haunted place and take all kinds of readings, take all kinds of scientific studies of these places. And then maybe we can figure out what's actually going on, because anybody who's actually been out there and has seen this stuff going on, how can you not believe that there's something going on out there, and why not try to figure out exactly what that is?
Exactly. I think having funding like that and help from big places like that is an excellent idea. Well, but I don't know how far it's going to go from there. I mean, how many other colleges or organizations will actually catch on and actually want to follow along with what they do?
Well, all it takes is some findings, and then everybody will catch on. So, and all we need little bit of funding, and we need to actually get some of those legitimate findings, or at least mount a legitimate scientific study. And even if it debunks everything, at least we know what's going on. Right?
Yeah. But I still don't think, even if they find, quote, legitimate findings, are other colleges and other organizations going to see it as legitimate findings? I mean, haven't we in the paranormal field found legitimate findings?
Well, what constitutes a scientific discovery? What do they need to get? Like, they study quantum physics, and I'm pretty sure that you can't hold quantum physics in your hand or capture quantum physics on camera or something like that. So what's the line? Of course, I know nothing about quantum physics, so I'm...
I'm not sure where the line is drawn either, but...
But when we ask people, they say, like, the thing that sets it apart from being a legitimate scientific field is once you, the only thing that is going to make the scientific community as a whole believe it as a legitimate scientific field is if they actually capture a ghost, and I don't think that's true. I think that if they can, I don't know, reproduce the phenomenon or figure out how the phenomenon is made in such a way that they can predict when the phenomenon would occur, I think that that's where that's how ghosts are going to be proven scientifically. And I think that I know last week we were talking to Soar, that was last week, right?
Yes.
And they told that story about how there was that place that I hope this was Soar that told us this story, but there was that place that was everybody said was haunted, but the stories behind it, they weren't legitimate. They checked the history and they weren't legitimate, but everybody believed it so much that every time that they'd go in, they'd leave some sort of psychic imprint there. So those ghosts actually started appearing. And it was because they left their psychic imprint there, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a deceased person. It could just be some sort of energy, and that seems to me like something that science would be fascinated with, especially with all these, I guess, people who have seen it, people who have experienced this stuff. And there's that other story. I don't know if we've said it on the air, but there is that story, terrible story, about this woman that got raped and beaten really badly, so a very traumatic experience, so she moved out of the apartment to get away from it, but she survived. And then the next person to move into the apartment, they would see the ghost, the replay of what had happened there, the whole rape and brutalization of this woman. So again, not the spirit of a dead person, just that replay, that psychic imprint. Well, psychic doesn't really sound like a scientific word, but that kinetic, I don't know. I'm just trying to come up with scientific words now. But that imprint of what had happened seems to be what was out there, and I think that the scientific community steers away from the ghost because they don't like the idea of, I don't know, it just seems that that the scientific community as a whole doesn't seem to really know what we know as, I guess, amateur investigators. Amateur doesn't sound right, but as investigators who don't have a background in theoretical physics or something like that. And it just, I don't know, it just seems that if there's that just a little bit of scientific interest in it, where we could get a little bit of funding, where we could get a little bit of equipment, where we could get a little bit of what if from those theoretical physicists, from those people who have studied these, who have these PhDs and the legitimate, I put the air quotes, I know you can't see it, sciences, but I don't know, it just seems that we could take the field so much further if that were to happen. And I guess where I got started on this was that you said that there's a program at NKU?
Yeah, I don't know if it's an NKU-funded program, an NKU extracurricular program, interest group. I'm not sure exactly how far it goes, but it's at NKU, and they are a part of it, and it's the Organization for Paraforensic Research.
So it could just be a group that meets at NKU, and it just happens to be a college?
I don't think it's just a group. I don't know what it is, though. I don't think it's like a investigation group.
Well, yeah, I don't... It just...
But it could just be a group of researchers that are meeting at NKU and they're a part of it. Yeah, that's possible. I'm not sure.
And that would be that would be what I'm all excited about, that it's actually a group of researchers, legitimate researchers in a college environment, who are actually there to research this.
What makes them a legitimate researcher? It'd probably be nothing more than college students.
Well, yeah.
Would that be a legitimate researcher?
Yeah, that's where all the scientists are. They're all in the schools, and yeah, mostly it's the PhD professors, but they use the students to do some of their research, to do some of their legwork. And it's just, it being in a college setting, they're there to actually study it instead of make money off of it or anything like that.
Okay, yeah. I agree that having something like this at a college would definitely has potential to help us in our final destination of scientifically proving it and getting accepted, so to speak.
But you don't seem as excited about it as I am. Because I really think that would be like a big boost to it. And I don't really think that there's been like a legitimate, honest to God attempt at actually studying this. Like, have you heard of something like that, where they actually legitimate scientists, again, the air quotes, legitimate scientists actually went out there and completely open-minded about the whole thing, trying to figure out exactly what's going on? Like maybe with the whole UFO thing, with maybe Project Blue Book or something like that, but not with ghosts.
Right,
and even with cryptozoology, it's like they don't believe in these mythical creatures until they actually find one. And they're like, oh, I guess it does exist. So it just seems that there's so much out there that we could be discovering with all the resources that we have, with all the intelligence that we have, and a lot of people I think would be really interested in that. And I don't know, I've ranted about this for quite some time, haven't I? I'm going to be real disappointed if this isn't a legitimate thing down at NKU. I'm really excited to ask him about this when we get him on.
I don't know anything about what he's got going on, but I completely agree with you that it would be nice to have a legitimately funded and supported group of, I guess you could say, professionals, scientific or otherwise, to kind of help us along in our cause.
Okay, how about this? If either you or me wins a lottery of more than $50 million, we give $1 million to a college in order to legitimately research the paranormal.
Sure.
Okay.
Witnesses? I will agree to that.
Okay, witnesses? Somebody be our witness out there in the chat room.
Web guy can be our witness.
Well, we got a 30-second delay, so they'll hear about it. I'll hear about it soon.
But yeah.
So is our thing on Sunday open to the public?
I don't know. It's for the church group, but she said she'll put something on the marquee thingy, their board outside, their sign, which would imply to me that passers-by would be able to see it and stop by if they're interested. So it might be open to the public.
I'm not sure that's good enough to invite people, but
I do not know.
It's probably something we should have discussed before we were on the air, too, so that's my fault.
I'm not sure, but it's still exciting to say, or to let everyone know that we have presentations and stuff, isn't it?
Maybe for us. I think it would sound like we were bragging.
Oh. Well, then we won't talk about it.
Yeah.
We have no presentations. We had mentioned in the past that we have an event on May 15th, the PACE charity event, Paranormal Awareness, and that event is no longer going to be, so we will not be there, so don't come and try to find us there. It's probably going to be later on in the year, and we know no details, so that event has been canceled.
So what's Paranormal Awareness?
I guess making people aware that there's paranormal activity. Well, actually, I'm guessing it's the charity was for a young girl named Katie. I think she was like 4 or 5, maybe even 3. And she had leukemia, and they're raising money for her. So I'm guessing the awareness was kind of like awareness of the problems at hand, and it just fit with paranormal awareness. I don't think it's actually paranormal awareness. That makes sense?
Yeah, but I think he just brought the mood down.
I brought what?
The mood down. It's everything just got kind of sad.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I didn't mean to.
I understand.
I was answering your question.
I understand.
So that's your fault then, isn't it?
It's completely my fault.
All right. And beyond that, do we have anything else coming up to talk about?
Today is the last day of Passover.
Yes. I did not know that. One would think I should know that.
Why should you know that?
Because I am a Roman Catholic.
But Passover is a Jewish holiday.
Yes, but I still think I should know that.
Okay.
I don't know. Just seems like something you should be aware of in life for some reason.
And something may or may not have happened on this date. In 1909.
Is this our contest?
This is the contest, and we'll go to commercial. Okay. So the this day in history is something may or may not have happened on this date in history in 1909. So good luck with that, and let's go to commercial. You've been listening to Miami Town Ghost Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
wondered if the urban legends in your town were true? Join Cincinnati Regional Association for Paranormal Studies, also known as CRATS, on their ventures in the search of the tri-state's urban legends. Every community has its urban legends and folklore. The Cincinnati area is no different. Those stories of tragic deaths and the hauntings that follow. Sighting of strange creatures, devil worshippers, abandoned crematoriums, ghosts and ghouls, and even Charlie Manson. Craps has heard all the stories also, and now they are going to check them out for themselves. They are going all over southern Ohio, northern Kentucky, southeast Indiana, looking for the truth behind these stories. But the best part is, they're taking you with them. So join them for their paranormal road trip as they investigate the tri-state's urban legends. You can visit their website at www.o-craps.com. That's www.oh-craps.com.
Join the crew from NKYPS for Paranormal Outreach Radio every Wednesday night at 9:30 Eastern, kicking off the Paranormal Powerhouse lineup. Mike, Matt, and Crystal turning up the heat with a variety of guests from the paranormal community. There'll be fun, laughter, and a bit of information dealing with the paranormal issues. Join us every Wednesday night at 9:30 Eastern on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Saturday night on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network, Paratrinity Radio, your hosts Mike and Ellie delve into the controversial subject of religion versus the paranormal. Tune in Saturday night at 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Paratrinity Radio, where nothing is sacred, on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Hi, I'm John Kachuba, the Ghost Hunter, and you're listening to Miami Town Ghost Talk Radio.
And we're back.
I gave too many clues, didn't I?
I don't know. Did you?
Yeah, they got
I'm
it.
I'm not really playing the game.
They got it real quick, though.
Oh, you did give the date. That helps.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. Okay,
We can call our guest in now if you would like.
All right. Oh, I did promise my friend Tom that I would give him a shout-out if he listened to the show. And he is listening to the show, but I'm afraid I'm not sure what a shout-out is. I think I grew up
I think you just gave him a shout-out.
But I didn't shout any... I'm not sure I understand what I did.
You gave him... you brought up his name on air. You made a point to point him out of the crowd. And you said, "Yo, there's Tom."
Oh, is that the definition? I understand.
That's a terrible definition, but yes.
Well, that makes sense. I think I understand now. I always thought it had something to do with shouting.
No, not literally.
Well, I understand that now because you explained it.
Well, that's excellent.
And see, while we were doing all this talking, I've managed to almost call our guest.
I don't hear the ringy dingies. Hello, Michael?
Hello.
Hey, this is Mike,
hey,
and you're
up,
on
man?
Miami Town Ghost Talk. How you doing?
Pretty good, how are you?
Pretty good. We're live on the air, and I've got Jeff here with me as well.
Hello.
Hey, Jeff.
How's it going?
Pretty good, how are you?
I'm doing all right. I hear you have a new group that you just started up.
Yeah, I actually started kind of two different groups in one, not directly in one, but like affiliated. Mm-hmm. I actually run Paranormal Researchers of Northern Kentucky, which is our investigation group. And then just recently, within the last week, we started a student organization at NKU to kind of bring our paranormal experiences from the field into the school as like an educational resource to people that are interested. And we're going to offer like internships and things like that for filming and journalism majors.
So this is more of a filming and a journalism type of thing, and not a scientific kind of thing. Because we were talking about this beforehand, and I was real excited that the whole paranormal thing had gotten into the school setting, and I was kind of hoping that it would be like a physics and psychic energy and that kind of scientific thing. So this is more of a journalistic and along those lines.
Actually, it's going to be a lot more broader than that. Like, we haven't reached out and actually done everything that the group is possibly doing because we're just starting to get formed and everything. But what I want to actually do with the group is get it linked with every major in the university where two, like, physics majors can actually go on investigations with us. And when things are happening, whatever data logging that they can come up with, maybe they could help advance the field. And then we'll also have, like, geology majors that do the geology the house is built on. So we're going to bring all that into the group, as well as opening it up to the community to educate people on what's real in the paranormal field and what's obviously entertainment on TV.
So how did this all get started? How did you come up with this idea, or was this something that was brought to you from the university, or?
Actually, I completely came up with the idea on my own, and then had a couple people in the group actually put forth a lot of effort into expanding it past the horizons that I really wanted it to. Originally, I was just going to come up with my own paranormal group and then find a way of leaking it into the colleges. That way, we could get more of the community involved and kind of also work with other paranormal groups in the local area. And then I just had a lot of attention brought to me from different people, and they said, why don't you use people from geology and the filming industry? That way they can do documentaries and stuff like that and get credit for it in school. So it just came into this huge project.
So the school itself, are they into this whole idea, or is this something that's, I guess, separate from the administration of the actual school and more like a student-run type of thing?
It's actually right now a student-run organization. We do get a little bit of funding here and there for travel expenses and basically to run the organization, but it is a student organization within KU, and we're looking to further get involved with the campus and stuff on that so we can actually maybe even license it as a nonprofit business, but I kind of want to get results to them first.
So what, say in 20 years, say this university thing, I'm sorry, I'm harping on the university thing so much. I was just so excited before the
beginning of
the show. But, say in 20 years, where do you hope, like your biggest dreams, where this university thing is going to be? I know you mentioned that you wanted it to spread out to all the other colleges. Like, is this going to, like, what's your hope for the future of this thing?
I kind of want to get into the aspect of just getting every single college interested in the paranormal field. This is a way that students and universities can study what they do in school and make it fun, because the paranormal industry is just really amazing and fascinating. And when you get a chance to get involved with things like that, I think it makes your education more worthwhile. You're actually going to use it more. So I kind of almost want to bring everything together and kind of get it involved into the media. That way we can maybe even offer paranormal groups to maybe even have an elective class in college to where people can learn how to ghost hunt the right way.
So who
that's
would
pretty
teach
much
those
my
classes?
Whole goal.
Who would teach those paranormal researching classes? Is this something that you would need to have some sort of degree, or is this just somebody like Jay and Grant from Ghost Hunters, they could teach it?
I would think you would have to have some sort of a degree.
Well,
I wouldn't know what
be?
The university's stipulations would be, but I would say maybe if you have an elementary teacher science degree or something like that, and you're a researcher, that would be beneficial, or maybe along those terms.
But they're not like a psychology or a physics or a geology degree, and then teach that facet of the paranormal. I guess I'm just trying to start a paranormal university, and maybe we'll get millions of dollars worth of funding, and we'll actually have these classes that have legitimate PhD geologists and physicists and people who actually go there, and they teach people how to study the paranormal. And actually, I don't know, I'm just excited about the whole thing.
If we can actually incorporate it into something like that, I would love to, because all the student organization members have to be NKU students and enrolled in NKU. So once I finish my college within the next year to year and a half, my girlfriend goes to NKU, and I'm going to start her in training of what the group actually does, and I'm probably going to pass it down to her for 4 years and then continue as a volunteer through PRONC. So maybe within that amount of time, I can meet enough people that are really generally interested in making this thing run, and maybe we can eventually work towards something like that.
So you can't break up with her in the next 4 years or so? Or the entire thing?
She's an awesome girl. Whether we break up or not, it'll still be a business, okay. A relationship.
Because I don't want the whole future of this thing to be dependent on whether or not you two stay together. It's bigger than that.
No.
It's bigger than that. Don't let that bring it down.
Oh yeah, exactly. Everything is actually 50-50 decided, even in the organization. Even though the vice president and the core members on the board are like the main decision holders, the other 50% is the people that are involved within the group. And without more than 50% of the vote, we can't pass anything. So we got a pretty good foundation on how everything's ran. So it equally divides up everything, and nobody really has power.
You mentioned that people could maybe get some sort of college credit for, is that just through filming, or is there anything else that, like, I'm not sure how
actually
that college...
Right now we're trying to work with each individual department within the organization. I'm currently in electronic media and broadcasting major, which is basically video, audio editing and producing and camera work and things like that. So I have a lot of connections within that field just from teachers that I've met, and I take a lot of journalism and public relations courses, and I've picked up people in those majors that are willing to actually volunteer their time and be part of the group and everything. So by doing that, I'm going to send emails out around the school to the geology and physics departments and psychology departments and things like that, and say, hey, we've got these students here that can actually use this in their degree. We're going to make documentaries, and they're going to be dealing with audio and video editing and advertising and doing their geology research and things like that. Is there any way we can incorporate all of this and maybe even work it into a volunteer internship for students? And so far, the reaction on that's been pretty positive.
And I know you mentioned to make documentaries and things like that, but background in like the video editing, the audio editing, things like that, is that something that could actually help you out in the field as a ghost investigator, as a ghost researcher, where you can tell whether or not this is an EVP or how what an EVP might be, as opposed to whether it's some sort of radio interference, whether it's just white noise, is that something that you found in your studies in that field that maybe that's something that could help you out as a ghost hunter?
Yeah, I definitely believe that could definitely help us out, because we got a lot of people that have four-year degrees, a lot of people in their master's degrees, and as a requirement as a student in electronic media and broadcasting, you do have to take like single camera production and audio production, and you also have to have internship in the job field that you're working. So all these people have work for big companies like Channel 9 News and Norse Media and things like that. And with them having that much experience in something, and then also most of the members of my team already don't believe that spirits exist, it's just going to be a really, really good combination, because it's going to be true scientific research. Nobody's came in with limitations, if you know what I mean.
So working through or with the college like that, do you have access to much better equipment than you could ever afford just being independent, so to speak? Or not you?
Oh, yeah.
Specifically,
oh, yeah.
But you in general?
When you're an electronic media broadcasting major, after you've taken single camera production, you can actually rent out NKU's studio cameras that they use on campus to film documentaries with. And these are tens of thousand dollar cameras, and then you get boom mics, and you, even for interviews, we get lighting and special audio and things like that. We just have access to so much stuff through the different members of our organization.
So is all that something you think would help you in an investigation, or is that more just good for doing documentaries and more of a learning?
I think it'll actually be really cool because those boom microphones are really, really sensitive to picking up voices, and I think they're going to be way more sensitive than an audio recorder. I haven't had a chance to use one on an investigation yet, but I'm really curious of what we're actually going to pick up on those boom mics. I think that's going to be really sweet.
Yeah, I think that would be interesting to see how well those pick up the sounds.
Do they have boom mics in Ghost Hunters? I know they have them in Destination Truth.
I haven't noticed them in there. I'm sure they do because they do interviews and stuff pretty much on the spot. And it sounds like the audio is pretty crisp in some of the rooms, so I imagine their cameraman's probably holding a boom mic above his head.
Huh. I wonder if that somehow affects the quality of evidence that they get, or the quantity of evidence that they get, and maybe... Maybe they should do a study on. We should just do lots of studies. Let's just go out there and study.
Yeah, exactly. You should come out and even get involved with us, man. It's a community organization, and we're accepting affiliates from all over the field. So if anybody out there is interested in with being an affiliate with us, we do offer time frames to where you can register with us and give presentations at our school and promote your group. And we also film documentaries. So if there's any groups or you out there that want to work with us, everybody's welcome.
So there are no limitations as to whether you're a student or are affiliated with a college or anything like that? It's just anybody and everybody that's interested in the paranormal?
With the student organization, to be an actual member, enlisted as a member, You have to be a registered student of NKU, but you can attend the presentations and not be a member. So if you're a student with NKU, you can actually work straight with the organization, but we're completely affiliated with PRONC, which is my group. So I'm using a lot of the goods and the badge from NKU and using them in my group, if you know what I mean. So whatever people can't be affiliated with in the Organization of Paraforensic Research at NKU, then they can actually be directly affiliated with Paranormal Researchers of Northern Kentucky.
Okay. How big is PRONC currently as a group? Like, how many members do you have? I know it's a fairly new group. Is it small?
Right now we're sitting at six people. And I'm probably not going to go too much bigger than that. If I can pick up another two investigators that have a lot of experience, then I would definitely look for it. But I want to keep it remotely small, maybe like six to eight people. That way, if I have raffles or something like that at NKU, and one of the people that are a member wins the raffle, then I can give them a chance to go out in the field and maybe gather some experience in one of our paid investigations.
Cool.
I don't usually
want to do it as more of like an educational basis. Like, I want to make sure that people that don't have experience in the paranormal field can actually get a chance to have experience in the field instead of just getting their education from entertainment on TV.
I don't usually watch the chat room while I'm doing the show. It kind of tends to distract me, but I happened to glance in there, and there was actually kind of a good talking point that was raised, I guess, that goes back to when we were talking about the boom mics. And,
oh, sure.
And the statement was that they didn't like using really sensitive mics because it picks up all kinds of distant sounds, it picks up all kinds of distant voices. And I guess kind of in my head, that would be something that I would kind of like, to actually get clearer on those distant voices, so the distant voices don't just come up as some sort of background noise. I don't know. I don't know what I'm trying to say.
I would like to kind of use it in tandem with the audio recorder, because we set up like a regular digital audio recorder on a table, then sit that boom mic there and then only allow two investigators in the building at that time and just have them sit in that room and not move. Whatever we hear as EVPs on our audio recorder, we could go back and test it on the boom mic if it's more sensitive, and we might even be able to use that to debunk EVPs that we hear, because some of them could be people talking out in the streets outside. So if you could hear it clearer on a boom mic, then you might be able to even debunk some of your EVPs.
So why even use the regular audio recorder then, if you have the more sensitive one that you can tell whether it's distant voices or not? Or
that would be a good theory to test, because if it does pick up that and it seems to perform well in the field, then that's probably what we'll just use instead of using the digital audio recorders.
So if you have two recorders, two identical recorders sitting right next to each other, I'm not sure all of a sudden exactly how EVPs work. If they're sitting right next to each other and their identical recorders started recording at the same time and they hear the same thing, are they both going to pick up the EVP, or is it possible that one picks up the EVP and the other one doesn't?
I guess in this field anything is possible. I would think in general that they would both pick up the EVP, but in a standpoint that a lot of weird things happen since I've been out in the field that I really can't explain. And this field's just filled with a bunch of unexplained phenomenon, so I would think that would be something that you would just have to test and see if maybe there's some way that the frequency works inside the machine, that if the wave oscillates at a certain frequency, the dip in the wave might not pick up an EVP like the other one. Like, I haven't been to that much research into it or know that much about the equipment itself to know that, but that would be something cool to test.
But it seems like an EVP is a voice that you don't hear at the time that it's recorded, but it records on the audio recorder. So it's just in my mind, you would think that since it's at a different frequency or a different wavelength or whatever from what we can hear, that it should be, we have identical recorders sitting next to one another, it should be able to be picked up by both of them. But for some reason, in the back of my head, I'm thinking that it's possible that one of them picks it up and the other one doesn't.
That is definitely a possibility. I would definitely agree on that. I definitely would say that anything in this field is possible, if you know what I mean.
And then that by itself should be something that these physicists, these radio scientists, these astronomers should actually go out and study. Like, why would it pick it up on this one and not on this one, and they have the exact same laboratory conditions? I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully we can get connections with the group to be able to do that. Like, I would love to get ideas from anybody. If anybody wants to send any other ideas, my email is parastudies@gmail.com. If you have any ideas that you want to bring to us, we're going to function as an education basis for the whole entire NKU campus. So any input would be great.
I don't know. I guess I just don't see enough of that. Like, everybody's out there, they're trying to collect their evidence. They're trying to be this scientific approach to everything and try to debunk what they can, try to understand what they can and all that. And it just doesn't seem like there's, like, when it seems like in the field, when we're reaching out for more interest, for more, I don't know, popularity in general. And I'm not trying to put anybody down or anything like that. And it just seems like maybe if we're reaching out for some sort of scientific understanding and scientific knowledge, it just seems like maybe we can just get a step further before I die. And that'd be...
Yeah, exactly. That's basically why I kind of arranged everything the way it is, because I have noticed, I don't want to put anybody down either, that a lot of groups do that. They go out strictly just for the evidence to put on their website, just to basically gather evidence and not do a lot with it. So I wanted to investigate in the aspect of just taking the basis from the field that I know, like how the machinery works, how the meters work, what EVPs are, just kind of take that knowledge, put it back in my head, and just start over from the beginning, and then get all this great input from people with degrees and experience in the field and having connections with professors. I figured, just since this hasn't been proven, obviously we're not doing something right, so we need to rethink what we're doing and go for actually proving that something is there. And the only way to do that is through mass quantities, like getting other groups involved, helping them helping us contribute to evidence and their beliefs and things like that.
I completely agree, and I've been agreeing this whole show. That's the theme of the show today. So what's the most convincing piece of evidence that you've ever come across?
I would say probably the last time I was at Bobby Mackey's with Shannon and Sylvia. When I was there, I got a pretty good EVP that I had no question about. I was down in the well room provoking a little bit, trying to see what I could get down there. I wasn't feeling anything, and the whole time I was down there, I didn't feel anything. And then I brought my audio recorder home and started reviewing the evidence, and me and my girlfriend were sitting on the bed, and she was listening to the evidence, helping review it, and clear as day, like, you can hear me, like, yelling at the entity, and I get a whisper at the end of my yell, which is sitting, like, the audio recorder is sitting, like, 14 feet away from me and back in that little jail cell room in the well room, and we got a whisper saying, get out now, and it was louder than me yelling, and nobody was back there in that room. That was cool.
So you said you were provoking. What's your take on provoking? That I hear a lot of different theories on the whole provoking thing. Is it something that's, like, on one hand people say that it helps to bring those ghosts out, to bring the ghosts forward, to help us collect that evidence, and other people are saying it's I guess rude to the ghosts or something along those lines. Where do you stand?
I agree with kind of both aspects on it. It really depends on what kind of a case you're working with, I think. If you have no proof that there's any sort of an entity that's evil in any sort of a way, it's just an entity inside a house and people say they see things move but nothing has ever been inflicted on them, I don't believe provoking is necessary. Just trying to communicate with the entity is just legitimate enough for me. Like, I think that's all you need to do. If you have proof, like at Bobby Mackey's, where they say that there's been demonic possessions and people have been pushed and people have been scratched and things like that, I don't think it matters how you treat that entity, because that entity is not going to respect you whatsoever. So I think at that aspect, I treat the entity the way other people treat them, in other words. If it's going to bully other people, I bully it.
Okay. So what about Ouija boards or things like that? Is there anything that's like 100% taboo in the field to you?
I personally don't like Ouija boards because it's a man-made device. And a man-made device, you really don't know what's going on. Like, an Ouija board could happen to be there at that time and then an entity do something, but that entity could have been there already. So I just look at a Ouija board as like a board game, like Chutes and Ladders. Like, I just have no interest in it. But I'm not really into the whole taboo. I'm pretty much into just pure science. Like, I don't want to go in and support any religion in this field. I don't want to go in with a knowledge that there's psychic mediums that could read things. I just want to base it on pure education and science.
Okay.
So as a part of your group, Pronk, do you guys look to do mostly like places like Bobby Mackey's and other, tourist attraction type places, public places, or are you looking for more residential cases?
I would like to get more into residential cases just for the credibility status of our research. If we can get homeowners that have lived somewhere for a while and can give us like kind of like a story of the history of what's going on and this and that, and then we can test that through research, and then we could actually use that for legitimate evidence. When you're at businesses and stuff, businesses charge paranormal investigators to investigate there, so they're not to attack the credibility of any businesses or not, but I don't put in the back of mind that sometimes that stuff might be set up like a haunted house to gain tourism.
Right.
So I'd like to go more towards like the residential and actually private business owners. That way we can get the community involved and we're not contributing something to something that everybody can go to.
So I'm going to ask your favorite question, Jeff, if you don't mind.
Go for it.
As a group, as your when you set out on investigations and when you set up the group, what is your main goal? Is it to capture a ghost and prove that there's a such thing as ghosts and paranormal activity and prove it all scientifically? Or are you out there more just to help the clients, to help the public, and to make people comfortable?
I would say both, honestly, because I would be there for the client in general. The client's the one that needs the help. The client's the one that needs the answers, and I would be there to give those answers to the client and what they need to do as their next step. That would be my main focus, and the other side of it would be to gather evidence to bring back to the research part of the group at NKU. That way I can use that as a way of maybe even coming up with different ways of investigating and different ways of dealing with these problems. So then I can again help the client, if you know what I mean.
All right.
So can I ask my other favorite question now, Mike?
Sure.
Sure.
Okay, so what came first, the name or the acronym?
Actually, the acronym. I was trying to think of something in Northern Kentucky that hadn't been used, but I wanted paranormal in Northern Kentucky in there, and that was just like impossible to figure out. So I was like, what initials can I put together to at least make a word? And I looked up some words online, and I came across PRONK, which means progressive punk rock. So I was like, well, that's cool. It's a hidden meaning. So I was like, what can I make to go with this? And it just fit Paranormal Researchers of Northern Kentucky.
It does fit really well, too. Paranormal Researchers of Northern Kentucky. Like, you even use the O. People sometimes skip those little articles and prepositions like that, but everything just kind of fits in there. And
yeah.
And I just didn't know which one came first. So it's coming closer to the end of the show, and I don't want to take away any opportunities for you to plug anything that you got, like your website for maybe PRONK or any kind of email. I know you mentioned the email address earlier that they could send ideas to, or just plug everything that you got for us. So those
All right, cool. I guess I'll start with PRONK first. The PRONK website is www.pronk.yolasite.com, which that'll be changed because I'm getting it redone. But the actual email address for that group is parastudies@gmail.com, and we're on Twitter and YouTube and all over the web. So if you're in there, just plug in our name and see if you can find us. On the Organization of Paraforensic Research, our email address for that is opr.nku.edu, or I'm sorry, not at NKU, at gmail.com. And we are also on Facebook, and we'll be up on Twitter and running here just in a couple of days with some more information. And that's basically all we've got out there right now. If you're interested in attending any events or being affiliated with us, just feel free to shoot me an email or give me a call. My number is 859-802-4719. And let's just get this thing going.
So what exactly is paraforensics? Like, is that a word?
That's a term I actually came up with, because I went to NKU and I was like, I do paranormal studies, and I told them what I do, and they're like, basically what you do, you're a forensic investigator. And I was like, now that I think about it, we kind of are. We go in with specialized equipment for the field to try and investigate an area like a forensic scientist would. So I came up with the term paraforensic research, because that basically is what we do in the field, just in scientific terms.
Maybe that's what's been, I guess, bothering me. Like, I agree. You're completely right. It is kind of like a bunch of detectives, police or CSIs going into a scene and trying to collect that evidence and put together a picture. And I guess at least in my mind today, as I've been ranting and raving about this all night, but in my mind, it should be something like the theoretical side and the scientific side, just the theories and the ideas and everything behind it, instead of actually collecting those little bits of evidence. And maybe collecting those little bits of evidence, there is a necessary piece of the puzzle to get to that that scientific proof of the whole thing. But I don't know, there's just something that seems missing from that equation. Like, it's not working toward that end that it should be.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's why I just kind of got the whole idea, let's just redo this thing, because it seems like there's a certain set of rules to the paranormal field that everybody seems to follow, and it's not really getting us anywhere. So I was like, how can I redo this in a different way? So we're basically testing a theory and just hoping that it works, but I think at this point that's what we all should do. We all should be testing different ways of doing things rather than just sticking to the standards in the field.
I agree with that. I like that idea. I think that this whole field can be pushed forward. There's so much potential there, and it just seems that everybody's right there at the precipice, and it seems like it's teetering at the edge of going into the crazy TV, crazy people on TV type of thing instead of the I had a good word there, but it just went right out of my mind. But it seems to be going over that direction instead of that legitimate, what if there really is something like this? Why aren't we studying this in science classes? There's enough witnesses out there. There's some very strange evidence that we're collecting. Why not study that? Why not try to figure out why we're getting those EVPs on those audio recorders, why we're getting these strange shadows and light phenomenon and on videotape and on cameras? Why not study all this and figure out for sure what it is we're dealing with? Even if it does debunk everything, fine, at least we know, and we actually put the time and the energy into it.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. That's exactly what I was looking to do.
Okay. And that's in my mind, that's great. And I love how it's at a college campus, because that seems to be where, I guess, strides in any kind of science take place, on college campuses.
I know, and the good thing about it is everybody gets a chance to learn how to do paranormal investigation through our organized groups. So since everybody gets to have that knowledge, even if they don't want to be a member of PRONC or there isn't room for them, they'll actually leave that college with the field knowledge plus their degree knowledge, and we're going to have people with degrees and people with more education in the field, and that's definitely my goal. At least if I can't figure it out, the next generation can.
And they're learning it more in a school setting instead of sitting in their living room watching ghost hunters go out and do it, or ghost adventures go out and do it, or something like that, where it's all sensationalized.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the word I was looking for before. We're moving away from science, and we're moving towards sensationalism.
It's a good word for it.
It was. It was right there on the tip of my tongue, too, and I missed it. Now I look like an idiot. Okay, was there anything else that you wanted to mention before we let you go?
I guess the only thing I have left to say is just thank you, everybody, for taking your time and checking us out, and be sure to check out the websites, and any ideas you come up with, just give us a ring or shoot us an email, and we'll be glad to work with you.
Okay, well, thanks so much for coming on, and don't give up on this idea. I like the idea. I hope in 20 years I can go into any college and take a class on paranormal research if I choose to. A geology class on paranormal research.
That would be awesome.
Okay. Did I leave anything out, MJ, or have you?
Nah, I think you're
said
cool,
anything
bro.
That you have you said everything that you wanted to say?
Yeah, I feel pretty comfortable.
Okay, excellent. Well, again, thank you for coming on.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
And should we go to commercial, Mike?
All right, that sounds good.
Okay.
Would you like me to take us out?
Yes, I would love it if you were to take us out to commercial.
All right. You've been listening to Miami Town Ghost Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. We'll be right back.
History states that the paranormal activity has been around for many years. Recently, since the new millennium, it seems it has been on the rise. We at Tri-State Paranormal are here to help people with their fears and their concerns. We don't charge for our services. If you feel like you have some strange activity going on in your home, please give us a call or go to our website at www.tspnorthernkentucky.com. We're here to help you.
Do you need a website? Get Webguy. With 7 years of website design, Webguy knows how to make what you need. With expertise in all major programming techniques, Webguy can get your site up and running in no time. Need custom graphics? No problem. Chat rooms, bulletin boards, interactive calendars, streaming audio and video? Webguy does it all. For your website design needs, email webguy@gemwebdesigns.com. Once again, that is webguy@gemwebdesigns.com.
This is Mary Beth Stagman and Tracy Wilson of TSP, Tri-State Paranormal of Northern Kentucky. And you're listening to
Miami Town Ghost Tours.
Miami Town Ghost Tours.
Talk.
Sorry. Hi, this is Mary Beth Stagman and Tracy Wilson of TSP, Tri-State Paranormal Service. Or, try it again. Why are we standing like this?
Oh, no, go ahead. Okay.
Hi, this is Mary Beth Stagman.
And Tracy Wilson. We're with TSP, Tri-State Paranormal of Northern Kentucky. You're listening to Miami Town Ghost Talk. Excellent.
We're back. And we're back. I think.
Yes, yes, we are back.
Okay. I always get concerned when you start playing multiple drops. I don't know when you're going to stop playing multiple drops.
Well, those all kind of go together. I think it's funny that they kept messing up when they were trying to do it, and they all kind of go together.
I agree.
But when I grow up, I want a degree in paranormal geology. Wouldn't that be interesting? If they could come up with enough information about paranormal geology to actually come up with a class and figure out why certain rocks would create certain kinds of paranormal activity and things like that.
That would be very interesting. Not something I would care to do. I'm not that big into geology, but it'd be definitely interesting to hear about.
Did I mention that I thought that it would be really cool if maybe the scientific community could start studying the whole ghost thing and actually get funding? And I don't know, I'm not sure I mentioned it enough. I just think that could just bring this field so much further. And whether or not it's a positive further or not, it's a more learned. We would be better off because we would know more.
I agree. I think it would help immensely. I don't think it's going to ever catch on very far. I think it's going to kind of... I don't think all colleges and organizations that would matter are going to pick it up. That's too much of a unproven and... field based on theories and nothing more.
But it's not based on theories is the thing, because there are witnesses, there's video, there's all this evidence. And if you put all this evidence together and you look at it, what's more likely? That there is something out there that we don't quite understand that's making these EVPs, that's making these things move, or that everybody's just hallucinating. It doesn't seem, or everybody's just hoaxing or hallucinating or something like that. It just, as scientists, it seems to me that they should be taking this seriously. That's right, I am lecturing those scientists out there. You should take us seriously. Get over here, check out our evidence. I can I can tell you exactly what was going on when we caught these EVPs. You tell me exactly how we got it, or at least tell me that it's worth some more investigation. So any legitimate scientists out there who are listening to the show, come over to my house, and I am offering you this challenge as your to protect your or to defend your scientific I don't know, I lost my train of thought, but but they owe this to the world. They owe this to the world. They say that they're about logic. They're about about learning what's going on, how the world works, and yet it's taboo amongst the scientists to study these so-called paranormal fields. And just go out there, just study it. Tell us, make me believe that it's less likely that there are ghosts than that aren't ghosts. And right now I don't believe that, because there's so many witnesses, there's so much evidence out there, and you can't, and it just seems less likely that all this is a hoax.
I don't think it's all a hoax, but I mean, obviously I take the side of the paranormal field, because I believe there is something out there, but I don't think it's necessarily they think it's a hoax. There's just some other sort of logical explanation for it.
Like what?
I don't know this. I don't know that. That's why I believe it's something paranormal. It's a ghostie of sorts.
So next week we're going to have a legitimate scientist on? Call up a college. Call up
we're
a college.
Already booked for next week.
Okay, then the week after. We need to get a legitimate scientist. Okay, then find us a week where we can get a legitimate scientist that does not 100% does not believe in ghosts, and have him tell us why it is more likely that there are no ghosts than that there are ghosts.
Yeah, I'll work on that.
I think somebody would be interested in coming on. I think you could find somebody.
Alrighty then.
So who's our guest next week?
Our guest next week is Bob Davis. He runs Planet Paranormal, and that's a website, and he has a group by a very similar name, but I'm not 100% sure what the name is. But it's something like Planet Paranormal Investigations or something like that.
Okay.
And he has had some, his group has had some pretty cool or interesting adventures in their time, so it should be a good show.
Okay.
Okay.
And who's the week after that? I thought we were carrying it on from...
Week after that, we are going to be talking to a fellow co-host, Christopher Moon, and his little gang, which is Chris, Dina, and Paulette.
I had no idea we had another co-host on this show.
No, not another co-host on the show, another host on the network. Did I say a co-host on this show?
You said a co-host, and I just didn't realize that we had another co-host here.
Well, that's not what I meant. I apologize. Another host on ASPRN is going to be on the show. And then on April 27th, I hope that's right. That's not still the Monday. I should probably check that, shouldn't I? Yes, that's right. April 27th, we're going to be talking to Brian, and he's a guy that runs the Dayton Paranormal Convention that we went to last year. The Ohio Paracon, or whatever it was called.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do, but you're supposed to be explaining it to the rest of the people.
Yes, I am, but my mind is gone blank.
Should I just play the outro?
Sure. that'll work. So, we're thank you everyone for listening, and visit our website at miamitownghosttours.com. Take a tour, read our books, our book Haunted Cincinnati and Southwest Ohio, and
soon to be books.
And we will be having another book coming out later this year, so keep your eyes open for that one. And is there anything else we do that we need to plug? Because we seem to do a lot.
We do a ghost tour.
I said take a tour.
Okay.
And send them to the website. Covered that.
I rarely listen to you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. So, thank you everyone, and good night.
You've been listening to Miami Town Ghost Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network.
Been listening to Miami Town Ghost Talk on the All Souls Paranormal Radio Network. Tune in next week for the best radio show that you have ever heard.